taking the word now, turning in them to Jeremiah. Having finished the book of Isaiah, turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, we're reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 19. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. Beloved, hear now the word of the living and true God. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth. Because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, What do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And the Lord said to me, You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, What do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. And the Lord said to me, Out of the north the evil will break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord. And they will come, and they will set each one his throne at the entrance of the gate of Jerusalem, and against all its walls around about, and against all the cities of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on them concerning all their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me, and have offered sacrifices to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now, gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all which I command you. Do not be dismayed before them, or I will dismay you before them. Now behold, I have made you today as a fortified city, and as a pillar of iron, as walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, and to its princes, to its priests, and to the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And that is the word of the Lord. He had his blessing to the reading and now expounding upon it. And so here Jeremiah, we see, wrote this prophecy as it was given to him by Yahweh between the years of 627 BC through the time of the exile, the beginning of it, 586 BC, when Babylon came and there was the fall of Jerusalem. In verses 4 to 10, we see Yahweh call Jeremiah to be a prophet. And Jeremiah at first objects. He does what Moses did. He says very similar words. He says, I do not know how to speak. And he says, I am a youth. And the Lord says, no, you can't say that. Don't be afraid, because I, Yahweh, am with you. And that is what the Lord tells you in your calling. He is with you. Where do His words come from? They come from the Lord, for He was called to speak God's word. And what is the call of the prophet? We see in verse 10, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. It's not all to build up and to plant. There is also destroying and overthrowing sin and condemning unto judgment. And then verses 11 through 16, we see the visions of the rod of the almond tree and the boiling pots. And what do these mean? As she says, what they mean, There is coming a great ruin upon Judah and Jerusalem from the north, that is, from the Babylonians. The Lord says it will come out of the north. And who will bring them? Who calls Babylon, these people from the north? Yahweh calls them, verse 15. And they will surround Jerusalem. They will destroy Jerusalem and the temple. Why? Because of the sin, it says, of Judah. All their wickedness, where they have forsaken Yahweh and worshipped other gods. They've worshipped even the work of their own hands, that is, idols and images that they've made. And the chapter closes then with encouragement to Jeremiah in his calling to continue the great work with the assurance that God's presence is with him, that God is present with him. And he says, gird up your loins, get ready for the work. It is hard work. Get ready. Go and speak my word. Yahweh tells him that he, with the Lord's presence, is like a fortified city. Fortified with iron and bronze. And there will be kings and priests and princes of Judah and Jerusalem who fight against you, Jeremiah. He says it up front. But they will not overcome you. And why? Because the Lord is with him. And the Lord will deliver him. And so you are to be reminded, beloved, the Lord is with you, just as he was with Jeremiah, no different. Right now, and he is with you forever. But there's also a warning, if you are not his, if you do not believe, if you don't have the Spirit in your heart, that you are not to find comfort. A judgment is coming for you as it was to Judah because of their sin. And it's coming for you because of your sin. Unless you turn now and you repent and believe the gospel. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you and thank you for how you called Jeremiah. You gave us this book and Lamentations. And Father, we praise you that you are a God who speaks clearly to us. You speak the truth, even when that truth hurts. And Father, we ask, as we have remaining sin, and some here even full sin, and complete sin, and only sin, that you would remove that sin from us, and you would turn us and our hearts unto you, that we would be stopped up in our rebellion against you, and your commands, and your law, and even in faith. And that we would believe and follow after you, that we would bend the knee to your throne, even as we've come before your throne now. Father, we ask that you would give us the word, even now, no longer through the prophet's mouth, although it comes through in your word, but through the preacher's mouth, your mouthpiece. We ask that you would speak through him, and speak through any who would ever take up this pulpit or any other pulpit in this nation or world, that you would be in control of them and their mouth, and that they would not preach false things. And when they do preach false things, that they would be judged for it, as you will call them to account. And Father, we ask that you would be with us as a congregation, that you would heal our bodies. Many who are sick this evening and who are not here, we think of Mike and Sharon, Boss, and they're cold, and Dina, who's not feeling well. Father, we also ask that you be with Bob and Marie, who are not here, and Karen. We thank you and praise you that Karen has been feeling better, and the medicine seems to be working, at least partially, and we ask that you would continue that, and perhaps even, Lord willing, she might be here next Lord's Day to worship with us. Father, we pray for Lillian and the early parts of her pregnancy, that you would give her strength. And any others, Father, who are struggling in their bodies, Lord, heal them. But Father, we also ask that you would heal us in our souls, and even the remaining sin, the remaining flesh that's battling against the Spirit. Father, put it to death. We hate sin. And we hate the flesh that remains. Not our bodies, but that sinful nature that is not our nature, for we have now a godly nature, but the nature that we were born with that has still remaining parts remaining in us. Father, we ask that you would put that to death and cleanse us of all sin. That we would even turn back unto the Lord as we hear of these judgments as we go through Jeremiah, the promises there. And even, Father, in other parts of Scripture. Father, make us stand firm according to your word, as Job did, even before his own wife, who called him the cursed God. Father, make us stand firm like Job. And Father, make us stand firm like Christ, who even in the face of the crucifixion, receiving your wrath not only for his sin, which was none, but for the sin of all mankind. Father, we thank you that there was no wrath towards Jesus' sin, for he sinned not. Nor was any sin found on his lips or in his thoughts. He was perfect and righteous in thought, word, and deed, in complete conformity to your will. And it is because of his righteousness that we are, as we've learned in John, 1 John, that we are able to practice righteousness in him. And we no longer have to sin, because it is our sin nature, but now having new natures, being new creations, it is possible to not sin in Christ. And we praise you for that, and that looking forward to the time when we will have no more sin, no more bodily ailments, no more struggles in the flesh, between the flesh and the spirit, where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will be at perfect work in our hearts, in our minds, in our wills and affections, when we are with you in heaven, as we look forward now to partake of the supper. Now, Father, we look forward to that marriage supper of the Lamb when we will feast with you forever. And in that, we ask that you would turn us from our sin and forgive us for Christ's sake. We pray in his name. Amen.